Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 20 of Back to Square One. We are your lovely hosts, Derek and Carmen.
Can't believe it's episode 20 already.
Yeah, what's the what's the special thing you wanted to share with everyone?
So, I mean, eventually, this couch that we're sitting on.
Let's tell them about the set situation.
This couch that we're sitting on is not meant to be in this orientation. Like, literally, the TV is behind Derek's head.
This is for show for you guys.
Yeah, but we just wanted, like, a really vibey background, which is this dark blue background behind us. But eventually, like, my house cannot look like this forever. So I was telling Derek, I was like, ooh, like, we should move the set upstairs. And, you know, for episode 20, we're going to have a new set. It's going to be, like, a big change. And what happened?
Well, the lighting up there is just different.
Yeah, it's not as vibey.
You don't have the accent wall.
Yeah.
It's...
the lighting.
Yeah, just everything. You know, I think this has become our signature look. But we will have to eventually change it because... it's just inconvenient to have a couch facing the wrong way in your house.
Yeah.
But we're still working on that.
Yeah, the budget does not allow for a new set yet.
Tell a friend to listen, tune in.
Make this viral so we can get a new set, guys.
Oh, man.
And then I also wanted to use Riley's jingle that she made us for episode 20, but I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't know what to... So to give you guys some context... our dear friends, Richie and Susan, their daughter, Riley.
Who we talk about a lot, yeah.
Yeah, we talk about a lot. We got her to do a really cute voice note where she says, you're listening to Back to Square One.
Back to Square One with Dirk.
Yeah, with Derek Dirk and Carmen. But I need someone with like musical production skills to like make it like... you know, like a cool jingle. Because right now it just sounds like a random baby.
A random kid.
it's like, what is going on? But we definitely do want to incorporate that.
Yes.
So if there's anyone listening to this and you...
any jingle writers? Yeah,
if you have musical talent, please shoot us a DM on Discord and we'll figure something out.
Isn't it crazy that it's episode 20? Like...
it is and it isn't. It feels like it's been a long time, but
it
feels like it's been a year.
I know. But it's like, oh my God, we're only at episode 20.
Yeah, right.
What do we even talk about? But yeah.
Yeah, because that's at least 20 hours of conversation.
I know. I can't even imagine when we get to like episode 100 and it's like such a big milestone. It's going to be like 5 years from now. Okay, what are we talking about today?
I can give you an update on the situation. With...
okay, yeah. Okay, so do you remember last week when Derek was like, oh, you know, like I'm seeing this girl and we like talk till 6 a.m., you know, and...
Carmen's just a hater.
I'm not a hater, but then I was like, oh,
it's not real until I see her.
Yeah, I always take the people you see with a grain of salt. Because next week, you might be like, yeah, I don't feel it anymore. So here we are.
Yeah, here we are. I don't feel it anymore.
A week later, ladies and gentlemen, I called it.
A week and 3 dates later, which is pretty good by my average.
Oh my gosh. You make it sound so bad.
Yeah, you either like get one date...
Or
a month, or that's it.
So what happened?
Just different. You just start noticing you really just okay, I don't know how people just meet people and then all of a sudden your lives are so connected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't you feel like you're so different from someone?
Okay. Why don't you talk about why you guys, like, what connected you guys in the first place?
It was just easier to talk to.
What'd you guys talk about?
Just anything and everything.
Did you talk to her about, like, deep stuff?
Okay, we didn't have a chance to talk about deep stuff. But okay.
Like, what do you talk about till 6 a.m.?
I don't know, but it was a vibe. We, I had, oh man, I have like a really good indie music playlist. Mm-hmm. Indie music playlist going on. The lights were dimmed. It was colored. City view in the background. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking, vibing.
Okay.
You know?
Or was it?
I honestly don't remember.
Or was it about. More physical attraction?
No. It definitely wasn't. It definitely wasn't like, oh my God.
Like, if she didn't look the way she did, would you be able to, would you be talking to her till 6 a.m.?
Okay, you're making me sound really shallow.
No.
But no, it's okay. It's not like that. Because I will say this. I meet a lot of attractive people.
No, I don't mean that. I mean more like, what did you guys connect on that made her stand out that much more? Like I said, like you said, you meet a lot of attractive people, right? So what was it about her that you were like, oh, she needs a second date, a third date? I'm seeing her now.
I wasn't seeing her. Oh. But after the first night went really good. It was smooth, mm-hmm. easy to talk to. There were just certain things that showed me that she had, I think what I mainly look for in dates is like really trying to understand their identity. Mm-hmm. And it felt like she really had her own identity carved out. Mm. And then it's like, okay, now that I understand that you have your identity carved out, which is part one, mm-hmm. part two is, do our identities match? Mm-hmm. Right? And that was moving forward. Okay, day two, day three, you know, do our identities match? Mm. And then that's when I started noticing that not so much.
Oh, okay. Right? So what attracted you to her in the first place was... Wow, this girl has
her own yeah. unique identity.
Yeah.
Because I know that, especially growing up in the suburbs, so many of us are the same. Mm. And I don't fault them for it, but it is what it is. Everyone's on the same life path. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I like this because everyone likes this. Mm-hmm. This is what I do because everyone does this.
Like, she was interesting.
Yeah, just have your own principles and your own reasons of why those are your principles versus... Oh, this is society. I just do it because society tells me. And then, mm-hmm. because there are people like that who fight tooth and nail and think, you know, I really believe in this. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you don't. Society just tells you that. And you just believe that. Mm-hmm. You know? But that's what it was. And then I just started realizing like our identities wasn't matching up. And I said, you know, like, I'm going to have to break it off with this girl.
But it's literally like 1 week.
Yeah, isn't three dates and three hangouts not enough to really know if... Isn't that enough?
Yeah, I guess.
You're making me sound crazy.
I mean, we talked about this in the last episode where you're very... You know what you want. Mm-hmm. You know what you don't like. For people, it's just very easy for you to just be like, okay, you know, it's not going to work out and that's it, right?
Yeah.
Versus like, I'm the complete opposite.
Yeah, you are the opposite. You attach very easily.
I attach very easily. I find maybe even just one thing that I like about a person and hold on to that.
How does that work?
I don't know. I feel like when you, let's say, like someone... It probably has to be like a really big red flag for me to like not like them anymore.
So what is that thing that makes it so overpowering that this one thing is so strong it connects us and nothing else needs to really matter? Like, what does that feel like?
I feel like because for me, it's already very hard to find someone that... Like, you know how you were saying it's very easy for you to find someone? Did you say it was easy to find someone you can vibe with, but it's harder for you to find someone you're physically attracted to?
No. I would say both are pretty difficult for me.
Pretty difficult for you?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, okay, there's a lot of attractive people, but then they have to be attractive in the way that excites you, if that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. there are people that are objectively attractive. Mm-hmm. Right, you go to any club in Toronto, there's a lot of attractive people, but it's not like that attracts me. That attractiveness gets me going, if that makes sense. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I think for me, it's... I mean, it's been a while. But
in general, with all your relationships, it feels like... Like when you crush hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then I, what is that thing that's like, I like them so much?
Yeah, I think honestly, deep down, it's just I've just never had the strength to walk away from something.
Right.
So it's almost like I don't want to.
You don't want to be alone. You don't.
No, not that I don't want to be alone. It's more like, oh man, I don't want to regret walking away from something that maybe could have been, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All of my relationships have always ended really bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't until it was like really bad,
like way past expiration.
Yeah,
it should have been tossed out the fridge a long time ago.
Yeah. It was never like I came to a mature conclusion in my head that.
So maybe I'm just more mature.
Too mature. Too mature.
No, but I have been thinking like.
But I think what you go through is a blessing and a curse, though.
Oh, it's definitely a curse. But I really do think it has to do with my parents, my relationship with my parents.
Yeah.
My parents' relationship with each other. How knowing that. Like, I really do believe that I needed to leave that house.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't. It wasn't just the right environment for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the person that I'm with has to be the right environment for me. Or I already understand that when the person isn't right for you, you're trapped in a very, like, people don't change. You're trapped in that scenario.
Mm.
And same with my parents' relationship with each other. They needed each other to change, but they couldn't change.
Right.
So it's like, maybe that's why I'm so like, it has to be the right fit or else like cut it off early kind of thing.
Right.
Maybe it comes from that. I don't know.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I mean, I can see that.
Yeah.
Because you saw how detrimental it was.
Yeah.
For everybody.
And you realize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really tough. I mean, did you see any of the comments in the...
Yeah, I saw some of them.
Yeah.
In the TikTok post, they were like, no one's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think it has to be about being perfect. Like, I'm not looking for a quote-unquote perfect person objectively.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a perfect person that's for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Someone where we're going to work.
Yeah.
You know?
Did anyone ever come close to that? Like, would you say your exes came close to
that?
Yeah,
I mean, that's why we did. Yeah, that's why we dated.
Yeah.
But then ultimately, there's things that just didn't work out between us.
Right.
But I definitely do think, yeah, the right person will just, you will make it work for them and they will make it work for you. Mm-hmm. in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Do you think, like, as you grow older, it's getting harder and harder?
Oh, absolutely. Come on, man.
Why do you think?
Come on, man.
Like, just harder because, I mean, at least
everyone's in a relationship.
Oh, yeah.
The good ones go.
That's true.
I mean, there's no one my age, our age.
Yeah.
Right? I have to be dating younger now. And that's why older men date younger girls, is because that's where the options are.
Yeah.
That's where maybe it's easier to mold.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, my single friends.
It must be tough right now for a girl.
It is. Like, holy. They're to the point where, well, she says, I basically have to wait for the second round. So I'm waiting for, like, divorcees.
Oh, my God.
I'm waiting for the widows.
Jesus Christ.
You know, like, because those are the, like, assuming those are, like, the good ones. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm going to have to, you know, like, the people who are, yeah, divorced, maybe with kids. You know? I mean,
it is what it is.
It is what it is. And, you know.
You have to be really actively looking.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's very hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah.
But what I have noticed in the recent fling that I had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've always known this. that I'm a very affectionate person. Mm-hmm. Like, very affectionate. And, like, mm-hmm. to a point where it's shocking to the girl. Like, oh, my God, what the fuck?
Like, get away from me.
No, I think they love it. But I was walking around downtown the other day. Mm-hmm. And there was, like, a maybe a four-year-old kid on a stroller. I think his younger brother was on the stroller. And then he's kind of just, like, clinging on. His parents are pushing him on the sidewalk, right? We're right by the aid center. It's going downhill. His parents stop all of a sudden to, like, look at something. Mm-hmm. And because he's just, like, clinging on and just kind of, like, hanging on, he fell off. Mm-hmm. He fell off. He starts crying. Mm-hmm. Right? Very normal. The parents rush over, pick him up. And then from that moment, I realized, when was the last time I touched my parents? Like, I was held. Mm-hmm. And as Asian babies, I feel like.
Yeah.
I think my situation was worse because my parents weren't that close. Like, we weren't, like, you know what I mean? We had, like, our issues. But I think that's why I was such an affectionate person. Because I've just been craving physical touch my whole life. Mm. You know?
Is that your love language?
Definitely physical touch is one of my love languages.
Really?
For sure.
But you are not very physical when it comes to, like,
PDA?
Yeah.
No, but when we're alone, when it's me and you.
Yeah. Maybe that. I feel like people with love language, with physical touch as their love language.
It's even, like, in front.
Not PDA in a sense, but let's say we're dating and we're hanging out. Like, I would appreciate, like, oh, your arm's always around me, mm-hmm. or like your hand is on my lap or something, that just presence, right? But your physical touch is more just like in private.
Yeah, because I've always felt like it was weird. I've never wanted to make anyone uncomfortable around me. Mm-hmm. Like our friends, like when I was dating, you know, my exes, I wouldn't want to put on that display in case it made anyone feel uncomfortable. Because I realize sometimes I feel uncomfortable
when someone's too,
like, yeah, when it's too much. I'm like, you know, we'll just play it cool.
Right.
You know?
Okay. What other love language do you think you are?
Quality time.
Okay.
We don't have to spend all day together. Just, you know, just good amount of time.
Right. Phones away.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not, what is that? Acts of service? Acts of service, yeah.
Wait, like.
Acts of service is one. And then what was the
other? Acts of service, words of affirmation.
Oh, yeah.
And gifts.
Oh, yeah, gifts.
Right?
Yeah. It's weird that gifts is one.
Some people love buying or
it sounds so gifts. Like
materialistic.
Yeah. Like, oh, my love language is gifts.
Yeah. You know? I mean, every Valentine's Day, you see the girls who post the dozen roses, the Louis Vuitton bag on their bed. Thank you, babe. Love you so much. Get me the fuck out of here.
Such a waste of money, flowers.
Oh, my God.
It's honestly such a waste of money. Flowers are so expensive. I'd rather have a plant. Like, at least they last longer.
They don't look as nice.
But, sorry, what were we talking about?
Just love languages.
But, yeah, so you feel like you're more affectionate. It's almost like you're compensating for the lack of physical touch that you got as a child.
I don't think I'm compensating. I think I'm naturally like that. But I just never received that, and I've always been craving it. Mm-hmm. So in my situationships or whatever, in my, like, I'm as soon as I can move to that, I move to that.
So then do you expect the other person to, like,
no.
be like that too?
I mean, it obviously I would hope that you're cool with this.
Yeah.
You know, and I also do feel like it's the, like, I feel like I'm a very romantic person. Mm-hmm. To me, like, I would, to me, holding hands with the girl I have crush on is way bigger of a deal than having sex with her, for instance. Mm. You know, that, like, really gets me excited, for instance. Mm. You know? So I think it's, like, those two things combined. Mm. Yeah.
It's so weird. It's so weird thinking about, like, our parents.
How they raised us shapes our love languages.
Because, yeah. I mean, even my parents, even though they were, like, my mom was around and, like, I don't think we were very, like, I don't remember them holding me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When I saw that parent pick up the kid, I was like, when was the last time, like, besides, like, a quick hug or something, but, like, your parents really hold you.
Yeah.
And you were, like,
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's not like a...
Or maybe you just grow out of it so quickly.
Or maybe it's just like a, not like an Asian family thing. I don't know. I don't remember my parents.
Yeah, because I guess it's more of like a white parents thing. They like hold on to the kids, carry them on their shoulders, or...
Yeah.
You know, cuddle up on the couch, watch a movie together. But, right?
Yeah.
I guess like with Asian and immigrant families or minorities, we sit separately on the couch.
Yeah, we're not very touchy.
Yeah, but I'm sure a Canadian family would grab a blanket, grab popcorn, get in, let's watch, right? Yeah. Or maybe that's the movie version, and you know that doesn't really happen.
Yeah,
but,
maybe.
But I feel like that's what happens.
Would it be weird if all of a sudden your family was like that to you? Like, would it be cringe? I feel like that's so cringe.
Yeah, I mean, just because it's like it's so 180.
Yeah.
But it would be nice.
Yeah. I think my love language is words of affirmation.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And then why do you think that is?
I think it, again, stems from like childhood just...
receiving new praise.
Yeah.
Give me praise.
Seriously. There's literally a baby video of me. Not a baby video, like a recording of me when I was a child. And I was just standing there and my mom would ask me questions like, what's your name?
Uh-huh.
You know, how old are you?
In English or Chinese?
Chinese, right? And then like, and then she would stop and then I would be like, man na man taya? Like, ask me questions, yeah, ask me more questions, right? Because I wanted to talk about myself.
Yeah.
It's like a running joke now with Eden. I'm always like, man na man taya.
Ask me something.
Yeah, but I think growing up, it was just the validation, you know, from teachers, from...
What would the greatest validation Eden could give you? What would that be? Like a grand speech in front of...
No.
So then what...
That stuff I don't like. Like, I don't like...
Oh, you like personal?
Yeah, I don't like public display of affirmation.
Right.
Yeah, I get really like, yeah, I don't want that. Not that.
So you just like...
I think the biggest, not even, I don't think Eden could ever give me. I think it would have to be probably my son. If he ever, I don't know, maybe...
Wait, but this obviously is recently has changed. Unless you always thought it was always going to be your son?
I just think...
You've always felt like that?
I just think that maybe I've just always felt like... We've talked about this in previous episodes where I was like, I would never call myself like a great wife or... Uh-huh.
But you want to be a good mom.
But I want to be a good mom. And it's like something that I'm really striving for, right?
I don't want to be a good wife. Just a good mom.
But it's something I really strive for. Like I read books about it. I'm researching how to be, like, how to take care of him, like that, right? And I know there's only so much you can prepare, but it's something that I'm, like, actively bettering myself for.
Yeah, you're going to be that mom that's crying when the son's giving his wedding speech. I love you, mom.
I will literally cry my eyes out. I think it's worse that I'm having a son. I realize that.
But don't forget about Eden. I was listening to a Esther Perel therapy podcast. Mm-hmm. And she was interviewing this couple and the guy was saying, you know, ever since the birth of our child, I feel like she's had no time for me.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been second priority.
Yeah.
I feel like I get the time of what's left over.
Yeah.
And that is what caused a big divide in their relationship.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
And apparently it happens to a lot of couples.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I can imagine because let's say for the next 20 years, like, I mean, Eden and I are prepared that in the next 20 years, our lives are very much going to be devoted to like children, right? Like your whole life becomes, we need to pick up the kids at this time. We need to drive them to this. We need to, you know, we need to split separate ways because one kid has piano and the other kid has a talent show or whatever, right? And you really have to carve out time for each other, but that's how relationships or marriages end up in divorces because when the kids...
There's no time for each other.
Yeah. But the worst part is once the common denominator, which is the kids, move out, they're 18, they're no longer around, the house is really quiet, and it's... Was that me?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the house is really quiet and it's now back to you two. It's almost like, who is this stranger? Because there was like the 20 years where you didn't build that relationship with each other.
I thought you were going to say the opposite. Like, you guys get to
No, that it's very...
Like honeymoon again.
It's actually a very common thing.
Wow.
That's why people usually...
It's the more reason not to have... I keep not finding reasons.
But I don't know.
Don't tell me it's worth it. I don't know. That's not confirmed.
I was at a friend's bachelorette party the other week.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like... Yeah, like two of us were pregnant. Half of us, more than half of us have kids. Like everyone, like pretty much five people had kids. Mm-hmm. And I overheard a conversation at dinner and one of the mom was like, you know, we plan to only have one kid.
Okay.
And, you know, she said her reasoning is, I read somewhere that for every kid that you have, you lose 10% of yourself. And I was like,
wait, what?
I don't know where that statistic came from.
But what does that even mean?
It just means like, oh.
Like my time, my identity.
Yeah, I think that.
I lose 10% of, what does that mean?
10% of, yeah, like maybe.
My brain.
Yeah.
My energy. What does that mean?
Maybe like your alone time.
So you have kids, you turn into dust?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like the Thanos snap. Yeah, I'm like,
I do not exist no more. So then she was like, yeah, for every kid, it's 10%. So she's like,
oh, 10%. I want to be 90. I still need to be A+.
I can imagine that. I can see that. Or what was the other thing I saw the other day? It was like, I'm honestly not selling having kids to you at all.
No, not at all.
But
I can obviously see the joy.
Yeah.
But I feel like the joy is moments. Moments.
What do you mean?
The joy is moments.
Yeah.
It's those moments when they come over and hug you and they do something really cute.
It makes it all worth it.
It makes it all worth it. But the rest of the 90% of the time, you're like tired, you're annoyed, you're stressed, you're...
Yeah.
So why is that worth it?
I mean, talk to me in like 30 years. I don't know. Like, you don't think you'll ever be like 30 years from now, you'll never be like, you won't be like, wow, I wish I had kids.
I will be, I said this before, I will just be happy finding that one person. That is it. I don't ask for much in life.
Right.
Just God, give me one person.
Oh, like you said, when you find that one person too, and you love them so much and you're like, oh, I want, you might want to have kids. You might be like, oh, I want to go through all that with this person.
No. I see what our friends are going through right now, picking up the strollers, folding. I never want to see myself folding a stroller, putting it into a trunk. Never, ever, 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 ever.
You're actually so awkward doing that stuff.
Ever.
Yeah. Do you remember when you said you saw a dad and he was pushing like a...
He was pushing twin stroller. Like
a double stroller.
Jesus Christ.
So Derek was walking down the road one time. He saw a dad pushing like a double stroller and there were two kids in it. And he was just like, I never, never want to see myself like that.
Yeah, because who are you anymore?
A dad.
maybe it's because I feel like my childhood was robbed.
Yeah.
That I feel like I'm not even full myself yet, so I can't have extra to produce an offspring, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
My love hasn't overflowed enough to be like, yes, put this into a human being.
Mm.
Maybe that's what it is.
Do you think like people who at least from what I can see, a lot of the people that don't have children usually have some type of like, either they came from a broken family or they had some type of trauma growing up. Like, do you think that's why people don't have kids? Or, I mean, some people don't have kids for like environmental reasons or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But for the most part, I think like evolutionarily, biologically, like maybe women. We should have that urge to reproduce.
I don't know. I mean, definitely for sure it's the trauma, the fucked upness.
So like even growing up, like when you were a child, you never imagined your life to have like...
Yeah, there was a point where I wanted like 4 kids, 5 kids.
Oh, there was?
Yeah, for sure. But that was like a very naive me when I was like 15 years old and I was like, I want to get married by 25.
I'm
going to have 4 kids. I'm going to be the best dad ever. I'm going to be what my parents never were to me. But that's like such naive kid thinking. It's like the knee-jerk response, right? And then as you get older, as you understand relationships more, the world more, and then after I had a taste of responsibility through YOLO, I realized it is so much, even with a dog who can take care of themselves, let alone a person where you're worrying about constantly. It's so much on your mind and it affects your lifestyle so much, you know? And for me, I guess I can't prioritize a child above the lifestyle, you know? Maybe that's just what it is at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone once told me though, they were saying like having children is like a selfish thing. It's more for like your own.
I mean, in this day and age, it is.
Yeah.
It's not really like the world needs more kids.
Yeah.
I mean, the world does need more kids, but it doesn't. It can go either way.
Yeah. But for someone who wants kids, I think it's the other way around. I think it's like maybe.
Like I want to be happy. I'm having kids to make me happy.
No, I think it's more the other way around. Like, let's say you not wanting kids is more like your selfishness, not in a bad way, like more like, oh, I'm selfish about my time.
Oh, right.
I'm selfish about my lifestyle.
So they're both selfish, just one tends to have a kid in it, one tends not to have
a
kid.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's just, but I also feel like as a society grows more and more modern, people become more and more educated, and the more money you make, economics show that people want less and less kids.
I don't know if it's want less kids, but I think it's...
No, they have... Oh, sorry. They have less kids.
They have less kids. But I also think it's because people are more educated, they're more focused on their careers. By the time they decide to have kids, they can only have one kid.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, like most people nowadays are having
kids. I'm just more mature, more educated.
Yeah.
Wait, what were you going to say?
No, like nowadays, like... I mean, I don't know the exact stat, but I feel like we're all, I mean, a lot of, it's very common for someone to have a kid like after 35, which back in our parents' age, like they had us in like their 20s. Did you have, no, your parents had you late.
My dad had me when he was 40. My mom was 32.
So your dad's like 70 something.
72, turning 73 right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. But I mean, your parents are pretty, like your mom's like educated.
Yeah, they're both really educated. They both went to McGill.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, maybe that's why. But.
Yeah.
Okay, we're so off topic again. What the fuck?
I mean, we're just talking about we're talking about love languages and kids how it affects us. And
Oh, yeah. That's how we went to, oh my gosh. Yeah. Anyways, my love language is words of affirmation. I don't know. It's just, I don't think Eden has to really say anything for me to know that he loves me.
No, I'm saying, yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. But what would the greatest, I guess, act of love he could give you?
I guess
the question is, what do you desire most from your partner? Or what would you desire most from your partner?
Honestly, I don't really expect a lot of like romantic gestures anymore. You know, like once you're married and you've kind of been together for like many years, it's like Valentine's just Valentine's, things like that, right?
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing would be just seeing like
your family.
Yeah. You know, seeing him being a great dad to our kid will be like the biggest gift he can give me. Yeah. It all comes down to, it's always going to be about the kid now.
I know.
It's crazy.
And then what? And then the kids grow up and kind of forget about you. Do you feel like you've forgotten about your parents here and there?
Yeah. I mean, I do feel guilty about that. Did you know Mother's Day is like literally next week?
I don't celebrate Mother's Day or Father's Day.
You don't celebrate?
No, I don't. My family have never done that stuff.
Never. Like even as a child, you would never.
No. I bought my mom, this was like grade 9, I remember. I went to the store, I bought her a nice tea, like a nice box of tea.
Oh, it's like a t-shirt. Okay.
And that shit sat on my microwave, on top of my microwave, untouched for the next like 10 years of my life.
Oh, was she like, thank you?
My parents just didn't do that stuff. So after that 1 year of doing it, I was like, what the fuck are we doing? Right? There's no, we don't do holidays. We don't do birthday. I mean, when we're younger, we did birthdays, but we don't do like
Christmas or.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's go out to eat. No, we don't do that.
Oh man.
Every day's the same.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do sometimes like, yeah, I do sometimes feel guilty. Like I don't hang out with my parents as much as I would like.
Yeah.
Cause there's this thing where I don't know if it was like you're supposed to put the number of marbles in a jar.
Okay.
Like let's say your parents are like 70 now. Let's say they live to 100.
Okay.
There's literally 30 marbles in the jar.
Okay.
30 more years of birthdays or Mother's Day that uh-huh. you can celebrate with them.
Uh-huh.
And when you look at it in a marble in a jar form, it seems so little.
It puts it in perspective for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right? And every year you take out a marble.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see it like that, there's no reason why you wouldn't want to make this Mother's Day special.
Right.
Because there's only 30 left.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But when you don't think of it that way, you're kind of just like, whatever, we'll just celebrate next year. You know? And I do feel bad about that. And I think, yeah, it's sad. I mean, we're going to get to that age where, you know, we're all going to be our parent, like burying our parents. That's going to be so weird. And then we're going to get to the age where all of us, like, it's like your friends start dying and stuff like that.
Oh my God. I know. Life is so depressing. But the only thing about kids that I do worry about is, sure, when I'm 60, 70, 80, who's going to be taking care of me?
Yeah.
That's the only thing. But at that point, it is what it is, man. Just, you know.
Mm.
Just be kicking with you at the old person's home.
Yeah, but I'll have the...
Yeah, your kid will be dropping you off.
Yeah.
I'll be like, oh, what'd you get?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Nice. My kid's going to come every weekend to visit me.
Yeah. And I'd be like, what's happening in the outside world?
It's going to be so sad. Don't you think it's sad? Like, you'll literally be so old and you'll pass away and like, who's going to like bury you?
Yeah, my last name won't carry on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure my brother will probably, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, but who's gonna like
what
bury you? Who's gonna come visit you at your grave once literally everybody on this planet who knows you will have died?
Yeah, but that happens to everybody.
No, not if you have offspring.
Yeah, sure, make sure that one kid will come.
Yeah, but then you're
but then eventually that kid will pass too, and then no one else comes to your grave.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
You know.
Yeah.
We all just yeah, it just lights out after that. It doesn't matter anymore. The idea of it is nice, but it's not like...
Yeah.
You know? It's another depressive episode of Back to Square One.
I feel like we can never kind of shy away from...
Sad stuff.
Sad stuff.
No, but I do feel like we have happy stuff.
Yeah. Did we talk about
what?
I'm like, it's such a blur for me. Anyway, so it's episode 20.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what happy stuff did we talk about in the 20 episodes?
Shit.
I mean, I would say, like, career-wise, you're pretty happy, right, for the most part?
Yes and no. It's everything's a work in progress.
Mm-hmm. But at least you're doing what you love.
Yeah, that's to be honest, that's like, that's a good part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to, every day I've lived on this earth has a day that I've chosen what this day will be like.
Yeah.
For better or for worse.
Yeah.
Right? It's never belonged to somebody else. And I'm really proud of that. I'm really happy for that.
Yeah. Because can you imagine going through what you're going through, like, relationship wise and your family wise, but also having to work like a 9-to-5 job that you hate?
Yeah.
You know? Oh my God.
Yeah, that.
I think what keeps you going is your, like, career.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I realized, speaking of a hypothesis, this is another one that I...
Hypotheses?
Yeah, hypotheses.
Hypotheses?
Hypotheses. Hypothesizzles. So obviously music was like something I really fell in love with early on.
Yeah.
And I was watching... So in the last episode... Was it last episode or last episode? We were talking and I was like... Oh yeah, you know, it's only been me and me in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to myself. I've only had myself for this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what music is to a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
and why we grow so attached to artists and songs, is because there's literally another voice in your head now that you get to spend time with. The same way our viewers have reached out to us and have messaged such deep, heartfelt messages because we're a voice in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the reason why I love music so much.
Because
for the first time, there was another voice in my head besides my own. And I enjoyed it and I loved it.
Yeah.
And I realized that's what the arts in general represent to people. That's why when people, they feel so emotionally connected to the arts,
mm-hmm.
to film, to paintings, poetry.
Mm.
It's because it's someone else's voice.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Right.
In your head. You're not alone anymore. I'm feeling things with you.
Right.
In watching this movie, this music, whatever it is,
right,
you're right. It just makes you feel like you makes you feel.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I am so in love with what I do is because it's all based around something artistic.
Right.
Yeah.
Where you can't find that in like doing someone's taxes, like you can't be an accountant and you know.
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, maybe you could. You could maybe get like a dopamine hit. You know, task done. I don't know. But I don't think you'll be moved.
Right.
Because I think, I forgot where I read this statistic or fact or whatever, but when people have really made it in life,
mm-hmm.
and they don't need to work anymore,
mm-hmm.
they turn to something artistic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to write my book now.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to go shoot a passion project. I'm going to go...
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
When humans are fully satisfied, now we go to the arts.
Right. That's true. That's I think, what you have going for you is that you were able to make something that you're passionate about earn you money.
Because
it's not easy to do that. I mean, it's like... You explaining to your parents, like, oh, yeah, I decided to, you know, make a career in the arts. It's like any Asian parent would be like, what are you thinking?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, there's no money in that. Things like that, right?
Yeah.
But do you think, like, nowadays it's definitely getting easier and easier, though? Like, with content creators?
Yeah, it's never been easier.
No?
It's never been easier.
Oh, sorry. Never been easier.
Yeah, it's never been easier. The hardest thing about the arts is always still about taste.
Mm.
Having good taste.
And you can't teach someone that. You can't go to school for that.
Yeah, it's really hard. You need to surround yourself with the right people, have the right inspiration,
mm-hmm.
have a lot of self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely a great time to get into the arts. Like, it's good and bad in the sense that there's more competition than ever.
Mm-hmm.
But you shouldn't focus on that. You should just focus on what makes you unique and what makes you different.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because even when I first started out, there was a million photographers. Instagram was popping off. Everyone wanted to be a photographer.
Yeah.
But you just can't focus on that. You know what makes your work different. You know what excites you. And you go photograph that. You go do that.
Right.
Yeah. Keep making it. Keep making it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so weird. The other day I had dinner with my boss, and so he's a dentist, obviously, and his kids, one wants to be a doctor and the other doesn't really know what he wants, the younger one. And we were at dinner and my coworker said to him, he's like, oh, tell him not to go into like, he wants to go into engineering or something. He's like, oh, if he's going to go into engineering, make sure he gets into, he does like software engineering.
Right, yeah.
He needs to know how to code,
mm-hmm.
Because.
Coding is the future.
Yeah, that's the future. That's like, I have friends who are in.
They
make a lot of money.
Jesus Christ.
They make a lot of money like working from home. A
lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money. There's like no ceiling. Like, don't be a doctor. Like, and it's crazy because it's like in our parents' generation, like those are the things that made you money.
Yeah.
Right? And I was telling Eden that, because I agree with that, right? But at the same time, it's gonna get to the point where now everybody knows how to code, right? Like kids are learning how to code in school.
Okay.
So now, yeah, there's too many content creators. There's too many people who can program. And then it's gonna be another shift, right? Don't you think?
No, because a good programmer, for instance,
mm-hmm.
a bad programmer can work at Microsoft for a year.
Mm-hmm.
None of his code is used. He's made no difference to the bottom line of the company.
Mm-hmm.
You are literally someone who's just cleaning up data.
Oh, so you could actually be like a bad, like, I don't know how.
For sure. Yeah. Works. You can be a bad coder. You can be an uninspired coder. There are coders who can only do, okay, tell me what you want this code to do. Tell me what you want to do. I want to click on this button and then the cat catches the mouse.
Mm.
I can do it, right? Right. But then there are coders who can dream. What if we, instead of that, what if, you know what I mean?
Right.
Who can see the future, who have a vision.
Right.
Instead of doing that, why don't we, he has to jump over a hill and under this hole and it's really fun for the person clicking the button now.
Right.
You know what I mean? A good coder can spend 3 weekends locked up, program Wordle, and now sell it for $8 million.
Right, I was just thinking Wordle, actually.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's a huge difference. Just because everyone can code doesn't mean you're a good coder. Same way, I'm sure, I'm maybe with dentistry, it's like, the spectrum's not as wide because a job well done is a job well done.
Yeah.
But definitely for coding, there's still an art aspect to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's true. I feel like let's say you're a surgeon, you could be a mediocre surgeon or you could be a really good surgeon, but like the pay discrepancy is not that big.
It's not that big. And it's still like the person survived. They're healthy and that's it.
Yeah.
But the difference between a good coder and a bad coder, a good content creator and a bad content creator.
That's true.
Right?
Right.
Night and day. Because we've all seen bad YouTube videos.
Yes.
And we've all seen like YouTube videos where, like, holy shit. These guys are crazy.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good way to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like there's literally no ceiling in those jobs. Which is, yeah.
Yeah. Because if you're a good coder, you'll make Facebook.
Yeah.
You'll make Snapchat and you'll be a billionaire.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely get your kid into coding.
Yeah.
Sports and coding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then do you think it just eliminates the importance of actually going to school then? Because almost it's so easy to just learn everything online nowadays.
So there's a difference between school and education.
Right.
School is more so a one-size-fits-all type of education.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I'm going to grade you. This is how I'm going to assess whether you're smart or not smart.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas education in general could come in many forms. Mentorship, going online and doing your own studies, YouTube, mm-hmm. Or formal school, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's many forms of education. Education is definitely super important. Mm-hmm. You always have to get educated. But it's just whether or not you're getting it from school or let's say a boot camp or a workshop or... Right.
Traveling abroad.
Yeah, like whatever it is.
Cultured.
Yeah. As long as you're getting.
You're learning.
As long as you're learning. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely went into the wrong field. Oh man. Yeah. It was just such an interesting thing because I think Eden and I obviously were very traditional. We went the very traditional path, right? One's a dentist, one's an engineer. And so when I was telling Eden about, oh, you know, we should get our son to be a software engineer. Like, we need to get him to code and blah, blah, blah. You know, Eden's like, yeah, but then eventually everyone's going to know how to code. And I never really thought of it that way, I guess. Yeah, I know you can't think of it like that, yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, because you're thinking about it like, oh, a construction worker is a construction worker. They all have the same output.
Right.
But no, there's definitely an art to it.
Interesting. Yeah. I always thought just like as long as you learn the language.
No.
You know?
It's like a good, like anyone is... A good chef and a bad chef. A good chef can really make some magic happen in your kitchen.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
A good chef just follows the recipe and it tastes good, but a great one will just like, show me what you have in the kitchen right now and I'll make you something.
Right.
Yeah, they just have that extra little, you know, creativeness to it.
But I almost, then, it's just like, then you're just born with that, no? Like...
To some extent, I feel like if you got it, you got it. If you don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is possible to learn it. You just have to be self-aware enough and surround yourself and really train your brain, I guess.
Yeah. It's almost like you can be the hardest working coder.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have it.
It doesn't matter.
That's it.
Yeah, you'll just stay where you are.
Yeah.
Get paid probably relatively well, but you'll never do anything, you know, of notoriety. Mm. You know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I should learn how to code. Is it really hard?
Shut the fuck up. We're all of us are way too old to learn how to code.
Are you?
Absolutely. You know how time intensive that is?
Really? Like
when you're young, you should learn the hard skills.
Right.
Coding. Right? All the time intensive skills.
Right.
Learn that when you're young. And then when you're older, then you learn more soft skills.
Like what? Like communication? Like,
yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. Like be the nerd when you're young. Right. Learn the hard things.
Right.
Spend 10 hours a day learning piano, become a piano wizard, and then learn how to talk to people. And then, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And then be the cool guy. Don't be the cool guy first and then try to learn piano.
Right.
You know?
Wait, you think learning how to code is really that hard?
I don't think. I know it is.
Oh.
It's really time intensive.
Right. Yeah, time intensive doesn't mean it's hard.
But it is also hard. It is also difficult to be like a really good coder, to be efficient, to code very cleanly. Because coding is like logic.
Yeah. Isn't it just like math?
It's how do I tell a computer to run many logical steps to get to the outcome I desire?
Right. Is it just like if and then?
Yeah, but you have to be a really forward-thinking person to see it from a holistic perspective. Oh, what if the user might type in this way? This or that? And you have to really be able to understand the scope of it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Or else, sure, you can just do the basic coding. And then when you iterate on top of it, you're like, oh, version 2 doesn't work with version 1.
And it messes up the entire thing.
Now I have to... And that's why there's certain companies that their coding is just terrible. Because it's just... They're just throwing it, making it work. Versus very clean and well thought out from the beginning.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Interesting. This is like a world that I like... Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, make sure your kids learn the hard skills young.
Right.
Yeah. I think Bill Gates said this. He said, I would rather teach an engineer marketing than a marketer engineering.
Yeah.
Learn the engineering first.
Yes.
And then learn marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do always say that.
Shut the fuck.
No. I have heard this somewhere else.
I just dropped a gem on you. They don't always say that.
I think Eden says that.
Shut the
Because
fuck
he's
up.
An engineer. Because it's being an engineer is not so much like the degree that you got. It's... People hire you for the engineer way of thinking.
And what is that?
Problem solving. I mean, that's a big one, right? You can't teach someone how to do that.
Yeah.
You can teach someone. Yeah. Like.
But even engineers, go ask Eden. There's good engineers and there's bad engineers.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Right. There's engineers who can really solve a problem.
Right.
And there's engineers. I only noticed there was a problem there because you told me there was a problem there, and I have to solve it.
Right. No, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, we are, wow, I don't even know. That, yeah. Good luck naming this episode.
This episode is called...
Everything Everywhere.
Well, I mean, we started off talking about us as children and how it affected us, and now we're talking about your children.
Did
so
we?
So it's full circle.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's called the circle of life.
No, yeah.
I'm not calling it that.
It's definitely getting, I feel like, harder and harder because I think we're... There's like a... Obviously, there's a part of this podcast where it's like, oh, we want to get the views, mm-hmm. right? We want to get the listens. We want to talk about things that you guys enjoy listening.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time,
like, do we have that in us or?
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of things that, like, me and you talk about off camera.
Yeah, that we can't really broadcast.
Yeah.
It's too dangerous.
It's too.
Too yeah, spicy.
Too spicy. So I think it's getting to that point where it is getting harder because we also don't want to be very repetitive about, like you said, mm-hmm. oh man, we keep talking yeah. about your childhood trauma, keep talking about, you know, we keep coming back to, oh, people don't have people to talk to, you know, like, we can only talk so much about your dating life, you know, like we keep circling back to the same topics. So, yeah. I don't know. I think it would be interesting to get some
refreshing.
I think it'd be interesting to have guests.
Yeah. I mean,
I know a lot of people who have asked to come on.
Wait, who?
I mean,
they have asked or yeah. you've mentioned it?
Well, they have asked like, yeah, you know, when you have guests, I want to be on. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we'll just have to get another mic arm, fit them right over here, I guess.
Because there's only so much trauma that we can talk about. Like,
no, for sure.
You know? And yeah. having another...
Perspective
on things. I mean, we talked about how it would be really cool to have a therapist come on.
I think having someone like that
yeah.
is the way to go.
Yeah. But I don't know...
And then, like, even having, like, a parent...
Yeah.
A grandparent, someone like who can offer us wisdom. Cause I feel like me and you are definitely self-aware people and we're very curious and
like we ask the right questions.
Yeah. We ask the right questions and and we would get a lot of value and the people who listen will get a lot of value.
Mm.
Yeah. So if there's any
just parents who want to come on,
just like older, I want someone with wisdom. Life and wisdom and experience to kind of drop some gems on us.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it has been 20 episodes of like you guys listening to us, so I think at this point we might have to change it up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to replace Carmen and she's gonna go on mat leave.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It'll be like a different person.
And then, but we're not gonna act like she's different. It's like the TV shows when they just change the character and it's a different actor.
All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in this week. Yeah, this episode was sponsored by S35 Schedule 35.
Mm-hmm. If you guys are interested in microdosing, use the code Back to Square One. We're actually releasing. Okay, I guess we might as well drop the news.
Oh yeah.
So Schedule 35 has something we designed called the Space Between Us card game.
Yes.
It's a card game that myself and a few others designed to really allow you to connect yourself with other people. So it's really deep, hard-hitting questions, similar to the questions that me and Carmen talk about and ask each other. That's really been a big focus of our company because microdosing is all about self-understanding and knowing yourself more and spirituality and gratefulness and, you know, aside from things like being more focused and creative and all that kind of stuff. So connection is a big thing and a very big important thing to us. And I've talked to the team, the marketing team at Schedule 35, and I said, would you guys be into an idea, you know, collaborating on a card game together, Schedule 35 x Back to Square One, me and you tailor make the questions. I have a few categories already. I haven't sent them to you, but I have a few categories that I think is kind of the similar vibe to what we talk about. Mm-hmm. And I think it would just be cool for people to have. We can give away some to the listeners.
Yeah.
We're going to have the cards hopefully soon. We're going to start working on these questions and we'll keep you guys up to date on them.
Yeah. No, I'm super excited. I mean, I think we mentioned how Eden and I were using the Schedule 35 cards, to just kind of prompt conversation topics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I'm really excited for Back to Square One to be part of this project.
Yeah, it's going to be dope. I'm excited. And thank you guys for listening so far.
Check you next week.